Thank you. Thank you, my sister, Reverend Patty. That was a great song. Where are you, Rhea? I've never heard you sing before. Thank you. You're like dynamite. So, good morning. How are you? I am so grateful for the invitation to be here. I thank Patty for that, because there's so many of you I know and love. And so, hi, Linda. I could just say hello, hello, hello. So I'm very happy to see you. It's always a warm and wonderful and really comfortable and joyful experience to come here. So thank you for that. And Reverend Patty is doing a theme this month, The Thing Itself. Yes? And so I took the opportunity to look back in the Science of Mind textbook and to read that first chapter. And I highly recommend it if you haven't looked at it for a while, although you're hearing Reverend Patty speak about it, because it lays out science of mind and really our theology or even our cosmology, you could say. And it lays out the spiritual reality that we embrace in science of mind, the reality of God and our relationship with it, and talks about God as the one power, one presence, one life, one love, one intelligence, and I like to add, and one full self-expression. And then to understand that that thing itself is that which we are. So you are the thing itself. You are the thing itself. You are the thing itself. Say, I am the thing itself. And you know, we talk about that a lot, but it really is the truth. Not all of God, you're not all of God, but all that you are is God. And so I invite you to hold your arms up in a big V, like our teaching symbol, and even lift your head up, like you're looking beyond this room and Tierra Santa and San Diego and California and the planet up into the invisible, infinite essence of life, God, spirit itself. So got that? And then bring your arms down, your hands down, that point of the V right in the center of your being, and close your eyes for a moment and just breathe that. And see if you can actually feel that that infinite essence has taken on form in you and as you, and that you truly are the thing itself in very unique and individualized form. And so if you could feel from that place that isn't really exactly a place, it's more like a dimension of your being, that there is a part of you that leans back or up or out to that infinite essence. And then there is a dimension of your being, it's kind of the flip side of what I just acknowledged, that leans forward into the world of form. And you are like a door with a door. You are like a doorway with a door that swings both ways. And realizing this and feeling this, this truth, is really what the talk is about today. To move out of the realm of concept and to move into a place where we actually remember this truth and start to feel it. And my highest idea for this talk today is that we would each take a step in the direction of really knowing that truth, knowing it and feeling it and starting to live that truth in a whole new way. That's my highest acceptance for this. When I was looking at that first chapter, The Thing Itself, there were three things that really were meaningful to me. There's 1,000 things in there that are. But Ernest Holmes says, we are created as individuals and left alone to discover ourselves. This is like pure quintessential science of mind. We are created as unique individuals and left alone to discover ourselves, which means you can walk a path of self-realization and growth and transformation toward the fullest expression of your being or not. You can, if you choose, stay as limited and fearful and afraid and shaped by the past and conditioned by your current experiences if you want to. We are created as individuals and left alone to discover ourselves. It's up to us how we'll walk the path. The second thing he says is that our inherent nature is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. Our inherent nature, the deepest, deepest truth of our being, is forever seeking to express itself in the truth of freedom, which means there are no limitations on our self-expression. It means we're actually encoded or wired, so to speak, to be the fullness of our being. And we can go in that direction if we want to, but it's in us to be able to do that. You are, as Jean Houston would say, the God seed. You are encoded to be the full expression of the divine, just like the oak is in the acorn or the rose is in the rose seed. It's the truth of us. And the third thing is, when we see God as it is, we will see ourselves as we are. When we see God as it is, he, she, it, they, then we will see ourselves as we are. And actually, Ernest Holmes also speaks the reverse of that, in the sense that he says, when we have a clearer idea of ourselves, we will have a better God. Which is interesting. Same truth. Depends on which side you're looking, which side of the door you're standing on, right? So we're on a pathway of discovery. We're on a pathway of discovery, and I really believe that this is what the Science of Mind path is all about. That whatever our daily life might be about, we're really on a pathway of discovery to know the truth of who we are and to live it, and we're winding through the territory of limitation. And we're winding through the way the world works, and we're winding through all the messages that we get about not being enough. Seems to be sort of wired into us as well. And we're winding through the places where it looks like we're at the effect of life and that there are bigger things than we are that are in control of us and we really have nothing to do with it. We're winding through all of that. You know, and traveling the path, coming to understand that we have influence over our consciousness, which means we have influence over what we bring into being in the world. And ultimately, we're on our way to a place of understanding that we're the vehicle or the instrument through which God expresses. That's what that swinging door is all about. You know, that we are the portal through which Spirit is expressing in the world, and God only wants to use you so that its beingness comes into this world of form. And when we participate in that long enough, we actually step into this place, the land of I am. And that's the talk for today, in the land of I am. And I am is that quintessential spiritual statement that is the affirmation of that which God is, I am. In other words, all that God is, you are, in unique and individualized form. And so I have to acknowledge Ricky Byers Beckwith for her song, In the Land of I Am. When I heard that the theme for this month was the thing itself, that's the first thing that came to me was In the Land of I Am, and that we're traveling toward living in that. And the chorus of that song is, In the Land of I am more than I have been, I am more than I will be, I am all that I am. In the land of I am more than I have been. You are more than you've been. I am more than I will be. You are more even than what you will be in your next step forward. And I am all that I am. You are all that that is in your uniqueness. And you know, this isn't an ego statement. This is not like James Cameron at the Academy Awards saying, I am the king of the world. It is not that kind of statement. In fact, I would say that to say I am, it's really kind of a quiet and deep and humble sort of thing. Because to really say I am and to get it is to know that all the qualities of God are in you and that this truth of God is the essence of your being, and it's just to feel the enormity of that. Just to feel the enormity of that. And to realize the incredible opportunity to live that, that's awesome, and all the challenges to that. All of this is humbling, I think. And yet the invitation from the land of I am is that you will keep walking your life in such a way that you will know that truth. That actually this is what our path is all about. That you will come to know the truth of who and what you are in a way that you've never known it before. And I would say that part of knowing what you are is knowing what you're not. So here's what you are. You are, And this is just my version of you today, okay? You are the radiant reality of spirit itself in unique form. You are wholeness. You are completeness. You are perfection. That means that there is nothing broken and nothing missing in you. In fact, please say after me, there is nothing broken and nothing missing in me. And say it again and really feel it. There is nothing broken and nothing missing in me. Yeah. One more time. There is nothing broken and nothing missing in me. And we prefer to say whole, complete, and perfect, so we're speaking it in the affirmative. And yet that's what those words mean. Nothing broken, nothing missing. You are here to live the fullness of God's life. You are here to know absolute freedom, which means no restraint on your self-expression. And Ernest Holmes says every act in the life of an individual is so that individual might express. That's it. We're here just to express. We do all kinds of things, but that's really what it's all about. I like it, actually. So that's one version of what you are. Here's what you are not. You are not the sum total of all the events that have taken place in your life. You are not any mistakes you've made or missteps you have taken, even though you've had to be responsible for those. It doesn't matter whether the mistakes or missteps were in business or relationship or whatever it was, you are not that. Another Ricky Byers line, I am more than this. God is more than this. You are not any current diagnosis that you are experiencing, although you're experiencing it. You are not any current challenges that you are in right now, although you have them. You are not your employment status or your unemployment status. You are not your bank balance or lack thereof. You are none of those things, although you have those things operating through your consciousness. There isn't a single one of them that defines you in any full or final way, except as you allow it. Except as you allow it. Except as you use it to define you. Except as you parade it around or whatever you do about it so that other people get the idea. These things have impacted you and shaped you, no question about it. All the events of my life have impacted and shaped me, but they are not who I am. And they are not the I am that you are. And so to travel toward the land of I am is to start realizing that truth. And I know that you know this. I know already that you know this. But we are in a time of forgetting. Have you noticed? Or let me put it this way. We are in a time when the earth plane is shifting really dramatically. There's lots of transitioning going on. And it's really easy, I think, to feel a part of that upset. And there are challenges that are up about economics and God knows what else. God does know what else. And it's very easy to define oneself in terms of that, to feel affected by it, and then to lose the greater sense of who and what we are, because they are things that we have to deal with. They are things we have to deal with. I started thinking about, my mind goes to odd places sometimes, about the sort of mythic and archetypal battles between darkness and light. You know, and across cultures and times, there are myths and there are stories about the great armies that clash. You know, we've got it in Star Wars. We've got it in The Lords of the Ring. You know, we've got it in, what else? You know, any of those places where there's two things pitted against the other. We have it in the story of Armageddon in the Bible. I've been on the plain of Armageddon, by the way, and I don't mean just internally, although that too. It's actually a real place in Israel. It's a wide plain, a valley. And it's so interesting. It was interesting to be there and then to realize how that was literalized. Actually, it wasn't literalized. It is literal. It was made metaphorical. We have within Islam the jihad, the holy war. All of these things speak about the battle within. It's all about the clash or the struggle or the dance, that's nicer, the dance between the truth, the true and the false. Between the expansive and the contractive, between the light and the darkness, between knowledge and ignorance. And so rather than frame it up as a battle, I would rather frame it up as an issue of remembering and forgetting. That there are times when we remember who we are, and there are times when we don't remember who we are. When we are in fear, we have forgotten faith. When we are in contraction, we have forgotten expansion. When we are in judgment, we have forgotten love, whether it's judgment of self or another. When we are withholding, we have forgotten giving. When we are in separation, we have forgotten unity or oneness. And so the issue is not about winning the war or winning the battle. It's about remembering the truth. I was thinking that maybe I ought to put post-its up around my house that says, "And what are you forgetting? What are you forgetting?" It's wonderful when we have people in our lives who can remind us of the greater truth of who we are. That's what our practitioners are for. They do that. They're the great reminders of truth. Bless you. You know, and we have friends and we have partners who can remind us of the truth of who we are, hopefully. If they're not doing that, they might not be the right person. come to think of it. So do you know who Jill Bolte Taylor is? Jill Bolte Taylor, I'm kind of late to this information because she's already been all over, you know, YouTube. But Jill Bolte Taylor is a neuroscientist who one day started having a cerebral hemorrhage. And she was in her experience, but she was watching her experience. And it is really, as you can see her talk, it's so worth seeing on TED. It's so worth seeing this because she's a great speaker. It's really interesting. Which waves her arms around. It's really great. and she could feel, she was talking about the right and left sides of the brain. You know, we do have two sides of the brain, although some of us prefer one over the other. And women, by the way, have a much bigger corpus callosum that unites the brains, which is how we can whiz around and make you guys crazy. You know? I won't say better, I'll just say bigger. And it's why men are very good at tasks from here to there. Bless you. It's wonderful. So we have the two sides of the brain, and as she was having this experience and watching her experience, she could feel when she would go into the left side of her brain and feel alone and afraid and constricted. But it was also the side of her brain that let her do a task to let somebody know that she was in trouble. And then she would move into the right side of her brain, and she went into a quantum space where all there was energy and information, and she was as blissed out as possible because there were, like, no filters. She was, like, blissed in the oneness of it all. And then she would come back into the isolated ego state of the left brain and then back out to this incredible oneness. And she became completely non-functional, was nursed back over years by her mom, apparently, and now is speaking about this incredible thing. And she has two really powerful statements. She says, first of all, we're all responsible for the energy we bring. That wherever we are, we're responsible for the energy we bring to the situation. Will it be separation or will it be unity? Will it be fear or will it be love? Will it be contraction? Will it be expansion? Whatever it is, we're all responsible for the energy and the consciousness that we bring to every situation. And it's also, the other thing that she says is take a step to the right of your left brain. Take a step to the right of your left brain. When you're feeling poor, weak, and afraid, you're in a left brain experience of thinking you're all alone. So take a step to the right of your left brain and remember there is this whole domain of oneness where you are the thing itself. This one life that is God, it's you. You know, if we could see at a quantum level, we wouldn't see any form. We'd see energy and information whizzing around. You know, so step to the right of your left brain. This is the opportunity that we have every time. If only we can remember. If only I could remember. And I'll tell you, there is a time. Have any of you been in personal chaos recently that are willing to admit it? I actually follow the work of a woman here in San Diego who is about as far out as anybody I know. And she was saying that that a new consciousness is flooding into us. And it is the consciousness of oneness, and I believe that. As you watch the shifts and changes, as bad as things look sometimes, there is, through all of that, a coming to a greater appreciation of this one life that we're all living. And so it's rattling us a little bit, and it's easy to get into some inner chaos. And the interesting thing that she said recently was that it's not the outer chaos that's bothering us right now, it's the inner chaos. And I've been there in the spin. Because I'm in a pretty interesting time of change. I'm about to end a ten-year job as community spiritual leader for this organization. So I'm stepping out into, you know, whatever my next life is about to be. I plan it to be on this planet, though. it's not next life, like, out of here. So it's right here. And so anybody else in that kind of change, you know? So it kind of feels like neither here nor there, right? Because you're not where you were and you're not where you're going, or I'm not. And it's a very interesting and can be a chaotic kind of thing. And the interesting thing that she said, her name is Ellen, is she said, that's all a distraction. That all that chaos is just a big old distraction from Source and from the truth of the One. So now I'm on to it. Now I'm on to it. And so if I start to feel that again, I'll see one of my little post-its that says, what are you forgetting? Ah, I could have remembered oneness. I could remember to trust the divine unfoldment of all of life. I could remember that I am loved. I could remember that I could give. You know what I'm saying? So this is our opportunity. It is to remember the truth that we want to know. And to be making that more real. You know, if we touch into the land of I am 10% and 90% were not there, how about if we reversed that? How about if we were in the land of I am 90% of the time and only 10 visiting the dark realms? Just an opportunity. So I want to read to you, share a reading with you. It's a beautiful book. This has been ordered here. There are some copies. It's called The Sacred Jewels of Yoga. And it was actually compiled by a friend of mine named Dave DeLuca. And it is a very, very beautiful compilation of some of the most sacred Hindu writings through time, starting with the Upanishads and going into Ramakrishna and Vivekananda and people who are teachers. And deep within Science of Mind is Hinduism. Because Ernest Holmes was a reader of all the great religions of the world. And deep within the most sacred ancient Hindu writings is this truth of the oneness and the allness and the divine. And so I'm going to share this reading from Vivekananda. And Vivekananda was the man who's credited with bringing Hinduism or Vedanta to the West. And he was at the first Parliament of the World's Religions in Chicago, which was 1880-something or other. It's called You Are the Infinite Spirit. All these small ideas that I am a man or a woman, sick or healthy, strong or weak, or that I hate or love or have little power are but hallucinations. They had me at the first paragraph. Stand up then. Know that every thought and word that weakens you in this world is the only evil that exists. Stand up then. Know that every thought and word that weakens you in this world is the only evil that exists. Stand as a rock. You are the infinite spirit. Say, I am existence absolute. Let's say that. I am existence absolute. I am bliss absolute.
I am bliss absolute.
I am knowledge absolute.
I am knowledge absolute.
Okay, now I'm going to read. And like a lion breaking its cage, break your chains and be free forever. What frightens you, what holds you down, only ignorance of your true nature, of your blessedness. Nothing else can bind you. You are the pure one, the ever-blessed. Therefore, if you dare, stand on that. Therefore, if you dare, stand on that. mold your whole life on that. You are one with the eternal soul. Know then that thou art he, we would say it, and model your whole life accordingly. For those who know this and model their lives accordingly will no more suffer in darkness. I'm going to read that last part. Therefore, if you dare, stand on that. Mold your whole life on that. You are one with the eternal soul. Know then that thou art he, and model your whole life accordingly. For those who know this and model their lives accordingly will no more suffer in darkness. And so straight from some very ancient teachings is that wisdom, which is exactly what we're talking about today. And so the job for us, as I see it, is for us to remember and to be able to know when our small mind, by the way, I'm a fan of both brains, but when our small mind dishes up the distractions that keep us tied to a limited sense of who and what we are. Ernest Holmes says, only we can set the limit to our demonstrations. If I know myself in a limited way, that will impact every thought I have, every perception I have, every decision or choice I make, and every action I take. If I know myself in a limitless way, that I am the very essence and nature of God, that will impact every thought I have, every perception I have, every word I speak, every choice I make, every action I take. It's really so much up to us. We are created as individuals and left alone to discover ourselves. We will walk the path the way we choose to walk it. And yet, behind all of the stress and struggle and interesting dance that we do is this shining reality that says, that which I am, thou art. That which I am, thou art. So I wanted to end by sharing with you a little Rumi card. I have a lovely box of Rumi cards that are quotations that I picked before I began writing this talk yesterday. I thought, okay, God, give me a little sign. And the card was this. It says, they offered many reasons why the rose is laughing. None of them knew the truth. Its prayer has been granted by spring. They offered many reasons why the rose is laughing. None of them knew the truth. Its prayer has been granted by spring. That is not a timetable statement. It's not like by the spring the prayer will be answered. It's that by the pure existence of this thing called spring, the blooming of the rose is assured. It means that we, like the rose, are wired for this full blooming, and that the entire universe is organized in such a way that this beautiful, radiant, luscious truth of us might come forth into expression. So you are encoded with all that you need to be the fullness of God's life in you. You're already whole and complete and unique. There's nothing broken and nothing missing. It's only waiting for its full expression. And you know, the opportunities for that arrive just day by day. Just day by day. So that you express a little more, and you love a little more, and you give a little more, and you make a choice that lets, take the next step, that lets the fullness of your being come into being. I guess part of that is letting go what doesn't work anymore. But you're here to lift into that full expression. And so it's for us to stand in it, to remember it, to mold our lives on it, to be able to say that which God is, I am. I am the thing itself. So I invite you to close your eyes. And so let's just take a nice deep breath and let it go. Remembering once again how we lifted our arms up to embrace the infinite essence of God, and then brought our arms down to the center of our own being, just as an outer physical way to symbolize this awareness that which God is has taken on form in us. It has incarnated in us, and we are the embodiment of the one life that is God. I accept for each one of us, because I accept it for myself, that something takes place today where barriers are released and boundaries are dropped, and that old ways of being fall away, and that we just find a way to let go of the untrue and step into the true, remembering and doing whatever it takes to remember who and what we are as infinite beings, knowing that we have an incredible opportunity to just keep bringing forth the truth and the treasure into expression in ways that make a powerful difference. Life is evolving itself through us. Consciousness is evolving itself through us. The infinite is expressing through us into this world of form, and we're here just to let it and to express who and what we are. Each one of us here is some part of God's infinite nature, and without the full expression, that will be missing from the earth plane. And so I give thanks for this awareness, many blessings on our path, and I accept that we walk resolutely to the land of I am, where we live happily ever after. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Thank you so very much.